Today we're continuing to share about the inner man and outward man. The picture the Lord showed me in the scriptures really helped me to understand the battles that I go through and where they're located, why I'm already victorious as a child of God, and how I can grow in God, and the importance of seeking God spiritually, maturing in Him spiritually. Much of the church world considers spiritual experiences, the anointing, glory clouds, signs and wonders, as being the sign of being spiritual, dreams and visions. But there's a deeper path of spirituality that isn't an experience. It's not an experience where you experience something happening as much as it is you grow up your spiritual being. And I think the mission of this series is to help you to see that you are a spiritual being more than you're a natural being, and that God created us this way to be connected to the spiritual realm from the very beginning. God created Adam to exist in both worlds at the same time. Not only do you have a natural DNA from this earth, but you have a what we call a spiritual DNA in the spiritual realm. And Adam was designed by God so he could see God, talk to God, who is a spirit, and still chase Eve around the garden. And because he was both a spiritual being and a natural being. And that was the design of mankind. God designed Adam to be both a spiritual being and a natural being at the same time, where instantaneously he was connected to both realms. In our modern world, we've really, especially in America, have pushed away any idea of spirituality. And even in the modern church, it seems to settle for spiritual experiences as being spiritual. But there's a better walk, a stronger walk for you when you realize I am a spiritual creature, and that's who God connects with. That's who God wants to minister to, my inner man, my newborn human spirit, as they call it. And so today we're going to just look at showing how we are always meant to be connected to the spiritual realm. And so Adam was designed by God as the seed for the human race. Every one of us have come from Adam. Adam was created in perfect righteousness and holiness. He was made in the image of God. That meant in his creation, Adam looked at God in the eye and didn't feel inferior. He wasn't divine, but he didn't feel less or a failure or a struggler, or he never felt he had to achieve something to be standing right there looking God eye to eye, because he was made in the image of God. He was as righteous as God was righteous. He came from God. In his creation, he was designed by God to be connected to both worlds at the same time. So God designed him with an inner body and an outward body that click on to each other. Like Legos, they click on to each other and they become one. As one, Adam was righteous in the spiritual man and his natural man. The natural man sits upon the spiritual man. And so the natural man must be as righteous as the inner man was. They were completely righteous, completely light. But then Adam sinned. And then Adam, when he sinned, became completely darkness because his nature was dark. So he became completely dark in his inner man and his outward man. And so now he is the seed to all of us. So he passed that down generation to generation to generation, all the way to you when you were born by your parents, by the will of your parents. You came from Adam. You were completely dark, your inner man and your outward man. Now, in Western society, we don't really acknowledge the spiritual realm too much. But in many other cultures, for many, many years, it's known and celebrated the spiritual part of who you are. And so what I'm saying is every baby born, every baby conceived, develops both the inner man and outward man together. And so that's why you go to a unsaved person, a mentalist or someone, a spiritualist, and you can see that they have access to a spiritual world, that they understand that they have a spiritual body. And many gurus, as they teach about the spiritual body of people, the spiritual man, they learn how to tap into the darkness, into the dark realm of spirituality. Well, praise God, we're born again. God wants us to connect with Him through the light of our spiritual man. God is a spirit, and He fellowships with your inner man, your spiritual being. And so, when you see the picture of the inner man and outward man as a Christian, it really helps you to understand who you are, but also why it's so important to pray in tongues and worship God and to read your word. And you'll learn all of this as we talk about in this series about the inner man and outward man. I'm trying really hard to stay focused one little bit at a time. So let's look at the inner man and outward man. A picture of your inner man is really simple to picture your inner man. A picture of your inner man is when you go to heaven. Let's talk about someone you know who passed away. And they're in heaven right now. In heaven, do they have a body? Are they ghosts? Are they floating around? In heaven, do they have a mind? Can they think? Can they feel? Do they have emotions? So there's a mind and emotions. And we know in heaven there's no sadness or sorrow. So in heaven, that's a great picture of your inner man. The real you, that's your inner body, your inner man. You have a mind in the spirit, emotions in the spirit, desires from the spirit man, and you want it to develop and grow because that's who God ministers to and connects to. Many Christians don't even understand that. They think that God's trying to work through their natural soul when that's not the goal. Let's start over in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. How, moreover, the dogs came and licked his wounds. So it was that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So in this story that Jesus is telling, he's talking about two individuals, a rich man and a poor man. Now, because Jesus had not been glorified yet, no one at that time in history had been born again. And so heaven was not an option. And what God did for everyone who died believing with the qualifications to go to heaven, they couldn't go to heaven until Jesus was glorified. So he built a holding place. It's called paradise, or Abraham's bosom was another nickname given to it. And it was a place in hell, next to hell, joined to hell, but it was paradise next to the fiery pits of hell. And that's where God placed every person who died, who qualified for heaven, but couldn't go there yet because Jesus had not died and been glorified yet. So Abraham was there. That's why it was called Abraham's bosom. Noah was there. Moses was there. Adam was there. Seth was there. That was the holding place that God had for every person who qualified for heaven. It was full, and they're waiting for the Redeemer to come. And that's what he talks about here. The rich man died, and the poor man died. So they're dead. Their bodies are buried. The rich man was buried. I'm not sure what they did with the poor man. But they were buried, their natural bodies. So their earthly bodies, their hands, their toes, their brain, their heart, their emotions, everything they were on the earth was buried in the ground. But look at the story, and let's look at what Jesus describes here. verse 22, Luke 16. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send at Lazarus that you may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So in this picture of the afterlife, we can see here that these two men recognized each other, or at least the rich man recognized the poor man, recognized Abraham. And so he remembered who he was. They looked similar to who they were on the earth, but they were in the afterlife. So they're in hell, in paradise at this moment, and you can see they have a body. He's got a finger. He said, let him touch his finger to the tip of my tongue. So you can see that they have a body. They have intellect. They have emotions. He said, I am tormented in this flame. There's emotions there. And that's a picture of the afterlife, that they have a body. No one ever stops existing. Every child conceived after Adam is still alive and existing today. We never stop existing as humans. If you get born again, you become a child of God and you exist all in all eternity with God. If you're not born again, you don't qualify for heaven, you end up existing forever in hell and eventually in the lake of fire. Make sure you get born again. And so in the afterlife, in this picture, Jesus shows that they have emotions, they have intellect, they recognize each other, they have bodies. And so when we talk about your inner man, the best way to see who you are once you're born again is I have an inner man that is born again. Now, in this series, I'm trying to convince you to not see yourself as a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. To me, that's okay. People still understand the word and everything else, but that picture, to me, limits you from seeing what God has already done in you the moment you were saved and what he wants to do with you. It's a mute argument whether you believe in I'm a spirit, have a soul, live in a body, or I'm an inner man, an outer man. Either way, you're going to do just fine as you follow God. I'm just trying to say and prove that I believe the image of I'm an inner man and an outer man is a much better picture model to see who I am, and the scripture fits better into that model than it does into that I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and live in a body. In seeing the inner man, I'll go to our other core verse here in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so, to me, this is a better model. The model I believe Paul lived by and taught by was that I have an inner man that is being renewed and built up and remodeled because it's born as a child. It has to grow and mature. It's born like a newborn baby. It's got to grow up. But that's my inner man. So when I think about my inner man, my spirit, many people, when you say, hey, what's your spirit look like? The definitions are quite comical sometimes. They mean well, but you know, it's a little glowing light bulb. It's a light circle. God speaks to me there. The best way to see your inner man is a complete person that's been born again, create a new creation that has a mind, emotions, and desires that are completely righteous and of God, and a body. So when someone's in heaven, how do you think they look? I make fun sometimes of of it. And like, I went to a funeral and there was a man sitting there and laying there dead, and we honored him. And the man who did the autopsy contacted the wife and said, "Ma'am, I got some really bad news for you." "Oh, what's worse? My husband's dead." "Yeah, I know, I did the autopsy, and I know we both go to the same church, but I just have some really sad news, and I felt I need to tell you." "What is it?" "Well, when I did the autopsy, you know, part of our requirement is to open up the skull and just look inside, and his brain was in his skull. And I'm really sad to tell you that, because I know he's in heaven, but he left his mind here. He left his brain here. And so he can't think in heaven. He's walking around heaven with a dull look on his face and a blank look on his face, and doesn't know where he is or where he's going or who he is anymore, because he left his brain here. And also, I have to report, ma'am, that his hands are still here. So I don't know how he's worshiping God in heaven. He can't lift up holy hands because his hands are here. We consider that kind of comical, but when you understand you have an inner man that has a mind of the spirit and emotions in heaven, then you begin to learn that I am a new creation and I have the ability to know God and understand God. See, Adam was created at the very beginning to be connected to both realms at the same time. So in God's design of Adam, he clicked together an outward body of this earth that had an outward mind, emotions, and desires, and clicked it to an inner man of the spiritual realm that had a body, a mind, desires, and emotions. And he clicked them together. They were in perfect unity. Perfect unity. But when you got born again, something else happened. When you were born again, your inner man was saved, but your outer man was left in darkness. Many Christians are stuck on, "I'm a spirit," so they understand that, and they assign that spirit to look either like a stick or a circle or a glowing part of them somewhere in their belly, or they consider it's my spiritual body, and I have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and I have a body, an outward body. That's like a glove. And because they're stuck in that understanding, and they try to squeeze spiritual things into that model, they struggle with really understanding what the walk of the Spirit is about, or at least seeing a clearer picture. Again, I want to be careful, because most people I know live by the spirit, soul, and body, and they teach everything accurate, but the model doesn't quite fit, and so it's a little harder for them to explain what's happening when God speaks to them. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 22. And I'll just read a few verses here in the Old Testament, and I want you to see that they had spiritual bodies in the Old Testament. Numbers 22:31. I'll start in verse 30. Or verse 29. Numbers 22, verse 29. "And Balaam said to his donkey, 'Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you.' So the donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your donkey of which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever supposed to do this to you?' And he said, 'No.' And the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face." So the angel of the Lord stopped the donkey from moving forward, and the donkey stopped and saved Balaam's life. And it wasn't until the Lord opened his eyes. I want you to see that Balaam had a spiritual man, and his eyes were closed, and that's why he couldn't see in the spirit. And God opened his eyes for a glimpse to see into the spiritual realm that there was an angel there, a real angel with a flaming sword that could kill him, that was as much real as Balaam was, but belonged in the spiritual world. And he was able to see because God opened his spiritual eyes to see. When Adam sinned, he became dark, but it didn't eliminate the spiritual body, the spiritual man that he was. It just became of the family of darkness, the world of darkness. So every child born in the world today, every child conceived, is developed with a spiritual body and a natural body that are, I call them conjoined twins. They're perfectly in unity. Every thought, every feeling is between the two bodies, completely in unity. Let's go over to another verse just quickly. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city in horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And so the servant looked around and thought maybe Elisha was a little crazy, because I can only see the army that's against us. And then Elisha prayed, verse 17, and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so the Lord opened his eyes so he could see what was actually there. The reality is the spiritual realm is as real and more important than the natural realm. And the church, the modern church, has gone the way of the Western society to allow a walk with God through our outward man, rather than seeing who we really are when we're born again. See, when you're born again, the inner man is saved and born of God. The inner man receives the new nature. The old nature is in the spiritual realm. And I can prove that really quick. Your nature is in your spiritual body, not in the natural body. Why? Well, because when you die, whosever nature you have, that's where you go. So if your nature is dark, you go to hell. But if your nature is light, you go to heaven. And so your outward body is of this earth and will return to this earth. The outward body has a mind, will, and emotions. And if I eat, if I take the cow and feed it grass, it gets nice and big, and then I kill the cow, I eat the cow. And then as I eat the cow and maybe some vegetables, it grows skins, my skin, my nose, my bones, my blood system. My whole body is built from everything that I've got from this earth, from eating things from this earth. That's my natural man. My inner man is a full, complete person that who I am of the Spirit. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4, verse 16. And forgive me again, I'm taking my time in this series. I want to see if you can see what I see. If I can get into you what the picture of the Lord shown me in the Scripture, then you'll begin to see yourself differently and understand a lot more Scripture. Verse 16 again. "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. For while we do not look at the things which are seen..." Now pause. What are the things that are seen? Our outward body. "But at the things which are not seen," we're supposed to look at the things that we don't see, and that is our invisible spiritual inner body. You're supposed to see yourself as God sees you, as His child once you're born again. When you got saved, your inner man got completely born again like a new baby. Now your job is to renew it with the knowledge of God. because it used to have knowledge in there, but it all disappeared when you were born again. That's why we need to pray in tongues and read the word, because we're building up the knowledge of the inner man. The outward man was not saved. We would get a lot of people back to church if they got to church and got born again and stood up and they lost 40 pounds, all their hair grew back, and everything in their life was suddenly saved by Jesus. The outward man's not saved. Now, there's many stories you'll hear of people who, I went to Jesus, I got born again, and I left different at the altar. Absolutely, you're a born-again child of God. The outward man was not cured, but the worldliness, there's things that attach to you from the world that are just worldliness, smoking, drinking, participating in what the world does. But if it never attached to your natural emotions, that activity, it was just a worldly activity, a lot of that would just fall off of you. The things that are left are not because God left them there for you. They're there because they're attached. There's an attachment to your natural man, to the natural soul, and that's the part of the flesh that we have to mortify. But the real you, the inner man, was a birth of God, born of God. That's the one you cannot see. And I think because we cannot see it, it's very easy to fall into a carnality of seeing ourselves as through our carnal man. You have a carnal man, the carnal body, but you also have an inner man. And that's the part that God deals with. That's the part that God speaks to and wants to build up. Many Christians are trying to change who they are instead of transform into who they can be through the things of God. Many people are trying to take the principles, the discipline of this world to try to be a better person. But God doesn't want you being a better human. He wants you to be the best child of God, and that's a whole different animal, a different species. So you're wearing an outward body, but you live in that inner body. If you're to draw a picture, here's how I want you to draw it. If you take a stick figure, draw a person. Now, in that stick figure, I want you to put a little circle, one little circle at the heart of it, and that's your, we're going to call that your nature. And then I want you to draw another stick figure exactly like the first one, without the nature. And I want you to draw it right beside the first drawing. So now you got two stick figures side by side. And now we're going to take a little circle in between the two, and we're going to label that you. That's you. You have an inner body and an outward body. Now I want you to draw a line between the two heads for the mind, from the two heart areas. I want you to draw a line from the heart of the inner man body to the heart of the outward body, and that's going to be your emotions. And then I want you to draw a line from the feet, and we're going to call that the will or desires. Where do I want to go? Now, this was a picture of you before you were saved. You were in perfect unity, in perfect darkness. You were whole, spirit, nature, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and body, that you were in perfect unity, all dark. And then you went ahead and found Jesus. And when you got born again, God gave you a new nature. He took out the nature of sin out of you, and He put in a nature of righteousness. And the nature of righteousness brought to life your inner body, your spiritual body, which has a mind, emotions, and desires that are now light and righteous. Your spiritual mind and emotions are immature. They're like a newborn baby. They have to be developed. They have to grow and mature. But they are of righteousness. You're still connected like you always were. You're still connected to the outward man. Every thought, every emotion has to go through two different filters now. How far is light from darkness? How different is your inner man from your outward man? as far as light is different from darkness. They're two different species. They're two different worlds. And so that's a picture of your inner man and outward man. Again, two stick figures side by side. They're connected at the mind and the emotions of the heart and at their feet, mind, emotions, and desires. And the nature is in your spiritual man. When you got born again, the spiritual man came to life. It came to existence. From darkness to light. It was a real miracle that happened. You went from darkness to light in your inner man. But your outward man was left in darkness, in its mind, emotions, and desires. And so basically now you have a choice of who are you going to live out of? Who are you going to build up? Who are you going to strengthen? Who are you going to feed, the inner man or the outward man? Modern religion has allowed us to serve God through a conformed outward body. We dress it like Jesus, like some guy in the play that's at a little church in the middle of nowhere, and they're doing their best. They put on a play. They got 20 people in the audience, and they pick the guy that's got the longest hair to play Jesus. And he gets up there. He looks nothing like Jesus, but they're doing their best. And he's got a fake beard, and he's got he's a little out of shape, but he's got the robe on, and they hung him up on the cross. They show him at the play being Jesus during Easter. Well, you know it's not Jesus, but that's how I think how religion does for Christianity, is we try to conform to be like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to love like Jesus. And the world looks at it and goes, nah, you ain't Jesus. They're not accepting a conformed, carnal church role of role-playing to act like Jesus. They want to see, and the world does need to see, the real Jesus. And where does he find that? Where do they find the real Jesus? It's going to be in you as you allow him to grow in you in his characteristics of love and emotions, in his knowledge and truth. And so we're going to get more into that in the next session about how we grow and how we transform. I want you to see here, we're going to look at a few verses, just a few more verses here today. Today's goal is to see the inner man and the outward man, and that your inner man was born and created in perfect light and righteousness. And that's where God wants to build up and renew the knowledge in that spiritual body, because your spiritual man can understand God and actually love like Jesus, have the peace of Christ. That's where those emotions come from. You have it in heaven, but you also have it now. Right now, you have an inner body. And if you're born again, which I believe you are if you're here, if you're born again, that inner body is righteous and light, and it has the capacity to love like Jesus, to grow the love of Jesus, to grow in the knowledge of God. In truth, ancient knowledge, it has the ability to understand God, where your outward man cannot, because it's not of God, it's of this earth. That's why when the trumpet sounds, he's going to replace it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We'll read that here in a moment. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's talking about looking at your inner man and your outward man. We're not to look at the outward man anymore as who we are or what our goals are, what our dreams are. We're to live and look at ourselves through the inner man. For the things which are seen are temporary. This body of this earth is temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Your inner body is the real you, and it is eternal. Once you're born again, it's eternal for heaven. If you're not born again, people in hell will spend eternity in hell in their inner body, the part that you can't see on this earth. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, chapter 5, verse 1, is destroyed, so this body, we know that if it's destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is in heaven. So in the fact that I'm still wearing this outward body, and when it dies or is destroyed, God's going to give me a new outward body, a new outward body with a new outward mind and emotions and desires that will be equally as righteous and light as my inner man is right now. And until then, I'm stuck with it. I'm clothed in it. It is my body. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. That habitation from heaven is your outward, new outward body that will come when the trumpet sounds. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. So God is not planning for you to walk around and live the rest of eternity in your inner body. In heaven right now, everyone is walking around. They look similar to how they looked on earth, but we believe they're perfect. They're perfectly healthy. They're young. They're thriving. They're walking around heaven. They recognize each other. They're celebrating each other. They know each other. They're having incredible emotions of joy and peace and love and no more fear or sorrow, because it's no longer, they're no longer wearing the outward body. But they're not going to always remain naked like that. They will be given a new outward body, an eternal body that will be like our outward body now. Our body wasn't designed to live forever, not like some people think. Adam and Eve had to eat of the tree of life to remain alive forever. And that's why God stopped them from eating the tree of life. So we're going to have a body that will need to be nourished and need to eat the tree of life in the new heaven or new earth and new heavens. And we spend eternity with God on a new earth with a new universe. And we'll have a body that will be as righteous. The earth itself will be redeemed also and be back to its original plan of being a righteous place of God's creation, not a twisted place of Satan's destruction. Verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, so you're in an outward body, and you're trying to live for God and grow in God, that's the battle, that's the fight that Paul's talking about here to the Corinthians. We groan, we're struggling, we're fighting. Why is it so hard when I want to do spiritual things? Why is it so difficult? Because your outward body, your outward man is trying to rule over you. For we are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality will be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. This wording is very similar to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to go there just to touch it just a bit. We'll be going through a lot of these verses during this series. And I pray that you're able, I'm entertaining enough that you'll stay with me. I'm not too boring. But I want to lay this out in a way that anyone can learn it if they want to learn it. Now, after we read 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, I want you to see over here in Romans 8, it's a very similar wording. Verse 23, not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly wait for the adoption, the redemption of our body. We're saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 26, likewise the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, also helps with our weaknesses or infirmities. For we do not know how we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession forth with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, part of the goal of praying in tongues is to help you to overcome the outward man and to build up your inner man. Now, the verse I want us to look at for today as I close is Romans 8, verse 10. And we'll get more in depth later on, but just a little bit to wet your whistle, as they say. Romans 8, verse 10, we just talked about the inner man and outer man. And this is, in Romans 8, this is the definition. If Christ is in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. So if you look at your diagram, you got two men, an inner man and an outer man. And once you receive the new nature, your nature brought to life your inner man. So your inner man is light, but your outward man is left in death, in darkness. And that's what Romans 8:10 is comparing, the inner man and the outward man. If Christ is in you, if you have that new nature, the body, the outward man. See, whenever Paul says body, he's not just talking about your fingers and your toes, your hair. He's talking also about the mind, will, and emotions, the soul of the outward body. You have a natural soul, mind, will, emotions, and you have a spiritual soul. But here he says, and if Christ is in you, so you have the new nature in you, the body, the outward body, is dead because of sin. And then he compares it to the inward body, which he uses the word spirit here, but it means inward body. But your spirit or inward body is alive. It's life because of righteousness. See, righteousness is another name for your new nature. So because of righteousness, your inner man was brought, your spiritual body, your spiritual being was brought to life, but your outward body is left in darkness or in death. And that is the battle he goes on to discuss through the rest of Romans 8. That you're in a battle and you're going to have to fight the inner man and versus the outward man. Now, when many believers use the symbolism, the model of spirit, soul, and body, they've got this picture a little bit, but they're trying to get their soul, mind, will, and emotions to act like Jesus. But when you realize you have a spiritual man and an outward man, the focus is on the spiritual man. Because that's the source of God for you. That's where God speaks to. That's where God works through. You have an inner man and an outward man. You choose who you feed. You choose who gets strong and who will rule your life. You choose where you live out of. Are you going to think out of your inner man, or are you going to think out of your outward man? Are you going to feel out of your outward man, or are you going to feel out of your inward man? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Will you be living strong out of your inner man, or you continue to live out of your outward man? So I want to encourage you. This series is really dear to my heart. I'm trying to teach it as slow as I can and as gentle as I can. So it's my job for me to be able to paint the picture so you'll understand it. If you don't understand it yet, then it's my responsibility to get it across to you. And that's why I'm taking my time in this series, so that you can see the inner man and the outer man. It revolutionized my focus in my Christianity when I got to see it. And many scriptures became very easy to understand and very clear when I ran those scriptures through the model of, I have an inner man that's of God, I'm wearing an outer man that's of the earth. Those scriptures were very clear in that model. When I tried to run those scriptures through the model of, I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, it got muddled. So thank you for being with me. I appreciate you taking this time, and we're going to learn together and be edified from the Word of God. I'll see you soon. God bless you.